The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mark Jordan, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Hello, fun seekers.
And I don't think our man in purgatory, Hassan Gabin, will be calling in this week. I think he's at a concert or something or other, or maybe he's in jail or you know.
Okay. Only think happy thoughts.
Well, compared to the alternative, jail ain't so bad.
Have you ever been in jail?
I have not been in jail.
All right, then shut up.
No, I'm just saying that if he's alive,
you know,
as in jail is better than being dead and not in jail.
Well, listen to Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
I think I'd rather be dead than be in jail. Thank you.
All right. So Brian says jail is worse than death, and Carrie the intern says what?
For a criminal justice class, I had to take a trip to a jail, so I'd rather be dead than in jail.
All right, then. So the consensus is jail worse than death. That's they should put that on the sign on the outside. It'll make people not want to go there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd be bad in jail because I don't play harmonica, you know. And number two, I'm not looking to get married right away. But other than that, carry on.
So if anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air,
tough,
you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see all of us, except for Hassan, because, you know, he's still alive and may or may not be in jail on the web camera right now, live. That is if you're listening to us right now, as opposed to listening to the archives, which will be in the future, so you'll be seeing something else on the station, unless you're actually listening to us a week from now, and you'll be seeing us waving hi, but we'll be talking about something completely different.
Wow.
So this week, we're going to do something very different, because we're doing a double-up show, as suggested by our very own Charlie Saladino.
Yes.
So at the second half of the show, we have a very special guest.
Very special.
Frank Patz from EternalCon. He will be here. He's the head. He's the guy in charge of the convention. So we're getting the heads that we had Kelly Gordon, who's in charge of the MCon, and then we have Frank Patz, who's in charge of the EternalCon, and hopefully I'm trying to get the head of the New York Comic Con to come on also, because their convention's coming up as well.
Well, I got to tell you, Mark, I am looking so forward to going to the Eternal Con.
And why is that? You want to meet the Power Rangers?
Well, yeah, no, because I saw some of the itinerary, and it looks very exciting.
Yeah. I can't say, except for one time, all the conventions always have something interesting to go to. We went to, many, many years ago, a friend of mine went to this convention. It was a Xena convention tied into a Star Trek convention, so it was very, very small, and it just had one little tiny room, probably about this size of the studio, as the dealer's room. You can imagine how bad it was, and they only had one celebrity, and that was it.
How many Xenas were there dressed up?
Actually, there was nobody dressed up. There was all just a bunch of sad people in Manhattan on a cold day. In the one room, we went to the one room, and then we're like, "Was there everything else?" And they're like, "There ain't nothing else." And that was actually, like I said, it was two conventions on the same time. So they had both stuff in the tiny room, but you had to pay to see one guy and pay to see the other. So we didn't actually get involved with the Xena stuff. We got involved with the Star Trek stuff. It was a very, very sad day that was. So we're going to talk about that when Frank comes in the second half of the show. But he was so generous. He was so generous.
How generous was he?
That he ties into our only bit of news we have. Because I'm going to give the Charlie Saladino News of the Week from the page of Charlie Saladino News a week. So we have the one major news item is that we have tickets to give away. The Eternal Con is in 2 weeks on the 14th and 15th. Is that, or is it the 13th and 14th?
14th, I believe.
14th and 15th. 15th, yeah, yes. There you go. 14th and
of
15th.
Of June.
Of June, that's right. And we're going to give
this
away.
This month, which is the first of.
Yeah. So in, yes. in 2 weeks, 13 days, we're going to be, we'll be giving away the tickets today. For the convention in 2 weeks. Now we're going to give away the tickets.
In other words, when you win the tickets, don't go tomorrow. There'll be nobody there.
Yes.
Right. That's so why you had to clear that up.
So we love doing what we call the world's easiest contest.
I love this contest.
The first person to call our station at 631-888-8811. That is 631-888-8811. Will win the tickets. How easy is that?
Oh, my God.
How many pairs of tickets?
We got
will
one.
The first,
they get
one
two.
Two tickets. One first caller will get two tickets.
Yes.
Okay.
We have one pair to give away, and the first caller will get those two tickets.
Nice.
Yep.
So that was from a...
We should ask them like an easy question, though.
What station are you listening to?
No. We should ask them like an easy question.
What day of the week is it?
No. Like, what is life?
Yes. What is the meaning of life?
What is the meaning of life?
Yes. That's an easy question.
Yes.
I'd rather go, what station are you listening to?
All right. Or another easy question, where did I leave my keys? That would help me out immensely. Wouldn't help the contest. But
right.
Anyway.
So first caller wins two tickets to the Eternal Con. That is 631-888-8811. And that's for today's show. You can't call us when you're on listening to the archives. You got to do it live now.
Right. You got to do it live now. So tens of thousands of people
for the phones. So while we're doing that, we're going to do the Charlie Saladino News of the Week. As Charlie said last week, somebody died. A movie made a lot of money. They're going to reboot something, and it's going to be bad. And then we're going to say something that makes Hassan upset. And then we say something that's really ridiculously stupid.
That is the news of the week.
Because we want to talk about the Godzilla movie, the new Godzilla movie that came out.
Oh, my God. I love the new Godzilla. He looks like he was working out. Do you see that neck?
And that was a lot
pump
of...
Pump you up.
Yeah. One of the complaints about it was that he seemed too muscular for a dinosaur that doesn't do any weights. Obviously, this is a reboot of the franchise, which would be the second American attempt at making a Godzilla movie, the first one being the 1998 Matthew Broderick film, which, I have to say, as not a Godzilla movie, but just as a monster movie, wasn't so bad. It was pretty bad, but it was cheesy, and it was what it was. But as a Godzilla movie, it was the worst thing ever.
Okay, I got a question for the contest. This could be a question.
Yes.
What sound effect did they use to make Godzilla's roar in the 60s?
I hope you know that, because I don't know that.
I know that.
Oh, okay. Charlie knows that.
Do you guys know that?
They have no idea.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Kara knows it? Oh, Kara, well, you can say if you know it. Just nod your head yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Kara knows it.
Okay.
Kara the intern knows it.
See, now she's a Godzilla fan. You're a Godzilla fan, right?
A verification of that. Yeah.
That sound.
What
the heck is that sound? Thank you. You're right on that stuff.
That's amazing.
I'm telling you.
This is completely unscripted, by the way.
Yes. called improvisation, like jazz.
Ah, yes. So, did you actually manage to see the movie?
No.
All right. So then I guess it's going to be all on me to tell you about the movie.
I was sick.
Tell you about the movie and what I thought of it.
I will see the movie, though. Unlike Spider-Man, I will see Godzilla.
I don't know. After what I have to say, you may not be too inclined to see the movie.
But, go ahead.
As a Godzilla fan myself, you know, Jet Jaguar and a guy in a rubber suit and a very appreciative American release movies, which was the Godzilla. The original Godzilla, the 1985 Godzilla, which was in the theaters, and then the Godzilla 2000. I saw two of the three, and I'm just happy to see, you know, Godzilla on the big screen, guy in a rubber suit, destroying stuff.
Guy's been going
on
since the 50s, late 50s. I like it.
It was hinted that they were going to do a new Godzilla movie. It was big buzz about it, and it's all about what does he look like? And I got to tell you, they got it right. He looks like Godzilla. He acts like Godzilla. He sounds like Godzilla. Good. However, the Godzilla stuff in that movie probably is about, I'd say 10 to 15 minutes of the entire movie. So if you're going to do that, which is nothing wrong with having a movie where you have the star of the movie come in late. You know, you have a monster movie or a force of nature movie, like Twister. You had the flying cows. That was the big thing about the movie. But the flying cows came at the end of the movie. And if you want to see the flying cows, that's fine. Because when you see it, like, wow, that's some awesome flying cows. But you have to make the human stuff and everything else before it, leading up to it, interesting. So this movie had some dull, boring, uninteresting characters. And then on top of that, they teased you not once, but twice when you were going to see some real Godzilla action. So I'm sitting in the theater, and the one character which had any type of interest at all, which was Bryan Cranston, he played the father. And he was barely interesting of his story arc. And then they shift focus, without giving too much spoiler away, they shift focus to his son and his doings. And he was very uninteresting. And he just happened to be matter-of-fact. Like, they're just shoving him in your face that he had to be, that you had to like me. He's like having a big sign saying, like me, because I'm trying to save stuff. I'm trying to do things. But he actually made matters worse through the course of the film, because his talent was that he was able to arm a bomb. Because the monsters had an EM pulse as their weapon, which makes no sense at all, because if you're an ancient creature, you wouldn't need an EM pulse because there was no electronics back then. So the military had problems, you know, fighting it because it knocked out all the electrical equipment. So the son, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Kick-Ass, he was like, I can make a bomb. I can set the bomb on manual. That's his talent. So throughout the course of the movie, he's finding ways to incorporate himself into the movie and then set the bomb. Of course, the bomb was the problem at the end of the movie because it was in the wrong spot and it was going to kill millions of people. So his contribution was he's bringing in another problem to the movie, which they already had three creatures running around fighting. So, uninteresting.
Was Godzilla in this movie?
He was in the movie for about 15 minutes. At the very, very end. So it starts off, you know, they talk about stuff. You have the creature, the bad guy. They show the bad guy more often than they show Godzilla, which is fine. Uninteresting characters all the way. And then you get to a point, which is about, I'd say, about 45 minutes into the movie, where, you know, it's building up. They're showing little, you know, they're showing the fins of Godzilla. They're showing, you know, they see him swing around, but you don't actually see him.
Right.
And then he shows up, you know, and they have the big reveal. And, you know, he makes the roar. It's great. I'm like, all right, here we go. There's going to be some action. And then they cut away to the people and the aftermath of the
and he goes,
of the fight.
And then he stops. He takes out a straw hat and a cane and say, hello, my cutie.
Exactly.
He shuffles off.
That's from Spaceballs,
and then
yeah.
The bomb goes off.
So for the fact that they did all that right, then they go and switch it and you don't even see the fight. So I'm like, all right, you got me. Fine. And then they do it a second time. They do some more build up with more uninteresting characters. And then, like, okay, oh, here he comes. And he shows up again. He's like, all right, we're going to fight now. And then they cut away again. And this time they cut away to Elizabeth Olsen, who's a great actress, by the way. But she was very underused in this movie. And they're showing the fight in the background on a television screen that you can barely see. As like, oh, well, this is the good stuff. But we want you to pay attention to this boring stuff that has no bearing on the movie at all. So. But then when he finally shows up, I have to say it was the most awesomest Godzilla stuff I have ever seen in my life.
So when I get the DVD, just cut to the end.
Cut to the end. And it was great. It was about 5 minutes of super awesome Godzilla stuff. Had they made the whole movie like that, I would say it was a great movie. Did you see Pacific Rim? Pacific Rim with the giant robots and the monsters fighting?
Yes, yes.
That was great because
I thought I was going to hate that movie. And I actually saw it twice at home this weekend.
Instead of watching Godzilla, you went to the B movie.
Yeah, well, I was sick, I told you.
It was, the thing about it was that movie was panned. You know, they're like, oh, wasn't that great? But the advertising was, it's giant robots versus giant monsters. And in the trailer, you had the guy hitting you with a giant battleship. That's all you got. That's all you expect to see. You go to the movie, and that's what you see. You go to see a Godzilla movie, you want to see some freaking Godzilla, not some people running around doing stupid stuff.
Well, see, that's the problem with movies today. They spend too much time on the, oh, let's get to know the people. No, the movie's not the people. It's Godzilla. Let's get to know Godzilla. Let me see him terrorizing the town. They do that a lot. They do that. Drives me crazy. They used to do in the old B movies.
Right.
The old B movies, they used to have, for example, there was one movie, I forgot what it was called. It was, I think, a Spanish, was made in Spain. And they had this guy going around, this doctor going around mutilating people because he had to get the serum of life.
Okay.
All of a sudden, they switched to the police station. And you have two cops talking theory on what's going on. They were talking theory for literally 15 minutes. And the script was so boring that I could not believe it. This was in the good old days of VHS. I was fast forwarding and stopping and playing. This is still not over. And they really didn't need that whole scene. You don't need all this boring stuff. You don't need the aesthetic part. Get rid of it. The movie's about Godzilla. Open up with him trashing places.
Exactly.
And then if you want, in the middle of that, if you want to say, oh, we got to do something about this, you know, good.
What's interesting is two things I find really interesting about the whole Godzilla thing. The opening day, the Friday shows, made more money than they expected. You know, they expected to make such and such money, and it made way more because the anticipation was there. But then the Saturday dropped down from expectations. So everybody went to expect it was a good movie, and then it went, and it made less money on Saturday than they were expecting. It made, you know, a lot of money over the three-day weekend. But the social media and everything hit it so hard that it went down on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so much so that there was articles about it, and they had one article where they interviewed the director. Yeah. And they said, hey, well, why have Godzilla in the last 5 minutes of the movie? You know, and he said, well, I did it on purpose because I wanted to have a homage to the old classic movies where the monster doesn't show up to the end of the movie. But you got to make the other stuff interesting.
You know, the homage is good if you're not talking money. In this day and age, everything is money. Yeah, people were drawn in from the promos, as we always say. The promos were fabulous.
And how did you see the promos? I just knew automatically I was going to go see the movie.
When those guys are jumping out of the plane into the dark cloud, you don't know what that movie's about. All of a sudden, you see the fins. You see the there's fins on the back, and you go, oh, my God, this is the Godzilla movie.
Ah.
And it's fabulous. You don't see anything else.
So, all right, because like I said, I wasn't planning on seeing any trailers.
Yeah, see, I would have saw it on that, and then I would have been very...
And I knew that was a Godzilla movie. I was like, I want to go see it. That was pretty much all I needed for it, and it wouldn't ruin it for me. And, man, I think I would have been more upset having seen other stuff.
Yeah, the promos going were into fabulous. It.
And
even the Snickers commercial was... I loved it.
Yes, even the Snickers commercial.
You loved the Snickers commercial. I loved it.
And, you know, they're tying stuff into Godzilla, but let's have more Godzilla. So that's why going back to think about the 1998 version.
That was Godzilla.
You have the monster running around. You have likable characters. They were likable characters. Matthew Broderick was a likable character. So comparing them.
You also had a character who was compassionate about the whole Godzilla plight.
Exactly. But in this movie, you have the army being extra stupid. Because the army is like, every decision they make was the worst decision. And even in the movie, they said, hey, your plan to kill monsters that eat nuclear energy is to hit them with more nuclear energy. And they're like, yes, we have. That's our plan. Unless you have a better plan. And the better plan was, let Godzilla take care of it. That was their military strategy. Let Godzilla take care of it. Yeah. That's the stupidest thing ever. Let's trust in this creature that's destroying and killing people. And I got to say, there was a lot of people dying in that movie. And you just gloss over, those guys are dying, but it's okay. It's Godzilla coming in to rescue it. There was this one scene early on when they had the first reveal of Godzilla. He was in Hawaii. And it was a giant typhoon. And there's a little girl. She's like, oh, look, it's Godzilla. And like, they don't show her dying, but you're like, she did.
Yeah.
Because the water went over where she was on the beach, and it's a giant typhoon. So it's like, all right. You know, these people are dying, but we don't care about those people, but we're trying to have a human interest story. So it's they can't have it both ways. You can either make the people interesting, or you have Godzilla coming in and doing what he needs to do, which was, I cannot stress this enough, it was so freaking awesome at the end of that movie. I go into the theater, working at a movie theater, and I go just to see that last part, and the audience goes crazy. They're all screaming and clapping. I haven't seen that kind of reaction in years for that. So,
because they were probably anticipating this for the whole movie, and that's why they're...
So, and then afterwards, you know, you look online, all the reviews, and there's people saying, oh, this is a great movie. This is the greatest movie of all time. I was so moved by how Godzilla was. I'm like, yeah, what about the rest of the movie? So we're in such an ADD fashion that they're hoping they forget about the rest of the stuff and just happy about the last bit of the movie. So yeah. It was extremely frustrating seeing all these people love this movie so much. If it's the best thing ever, yet it wasn't. It's not worth it. I mean, it's not worth paying for a 3D movie $16, $20 to see 10 minutes of Godzilla. Just wait a little bit. You can see it online because they'll put the clip online. Wait till they show it. It was so frustrating how right it could have been, and yet wasn't. You know, it's like, I can't explain anymore how it was an hour and a half of tease and like 5 minutes of gold.
Well, you know, this brings to mind the beginning of what's the Sylvester Stallone franchise?
The Expendables?
The Expendables? Yeah. What is there? Three, right?
Yeah, there are three of them now.
Three of them out. I don't remember whether this was two or three.
Well, three didn't come out yet, but it's on
its
way.
Oh, all right.
So
then you lied to me.
Well, okay. You said there's three of them. There are three of them.
All right. So this was two. I know it was two for a fact now. The beginning of that movie.
Oh.
The beginning of that movie was, I was saying as the beginning, how good could the rest of the movie be?
Right.
This is fabulous. It turned out to be amazing. But the beginning of Expendables 3.
Two.
It was like fabulous.
This is like, a matter of fact, though.
And then, like, you sit back after all that and you say, you know.
All right, wow. So we have the winner of the two tickets, Mitza?
Nivea.
Nivea?
Nivea.
Nivea. Oh, Nivea.
Yeah,
it looks like Miza on the paper. Good job, intern, writing down the wrong name. Oh, it was Brian. No, but the intern always gets blamed because that's what the intern does.
Hello, kitty.
So what's your name?
Nivea.
Nivea. So yeah. Congratulations, you won two.
Yay!
Passes to the Eternal Con, which is in 13 days. Well, 12 days because it's on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah.
Brian will take down all your information.
Wait.
Oh, the question.
The question.
Yes.
Do you know? This doesn't matter. You won the tickets already.
You already won, but we'll take them away if you get it wrong.
No. Do you know what they used for the sound effect of Godzilla's roar?
I have no clue.
Okay, you won the tickets.
That
was the answer we were looking for. We have no clue.
Wait.
All right, Kara got it. Kara the intern.
Kara knows the answer.
Kara knows the answer.
Go ahead,
what
you
is,
can say it now.
Yes.
They took a rubber, a leather glove, and they put resonant on it, and they would slide it back and forth on strings, and they would slow it down and tune it up, and that's how they made the roars.
No!
Yes,
no.
That's it! That's how they did it!
Which one?
The original?
The original.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait, no, that's the 1954 version. Whoops. That's the 1954
they
version.
They went to a train yard. That
what?
Is a train you hear. Every time you hear Godzilla that roar, that is a train coming in, braking.
Oh, because I thought it was made by a composer who put the leather glove with the resin on it, and he rubbed it against strings. That's what I knew.
Okay, people call in now.
Well, so the answer we were looking for is that I don't know, which is what you said.
But she won the tickets anyway.
Yes, congratulations.
We're going to find out. We find that out.
Okay, do okay. I win something?
You win to come back next week.
Okay, that's
right.
Fine.
So, Brian will get the information. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, you're going to dress up as a character?
I don't know.
Is that your universal answer to all the questions that I don't know?
No.
Oh, there we go.
Not.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Ryan got it? All right. So well, you were mentioning Expendables before we hit our break. The buildup of the Van Damme versus Stallone fight. That was the big thing.
That was the
big thing. But then I have to say, when I saw, I was like, that was it. And I was like, expecting more of a big fight because, you know, the whole thing was that Van Damme has to do his spin kick, and then he did it on the trailers. So when you see, like, all right, he did it.
But you know what?
Yes.
You know what about that? Kudos to that, because Van Damme could have whipped Stallone, yes. But they made it to the point where, you know, it was just the luck of the draw.
Right.
Whatever somebody had to throw at somebody. And finally, I think with the chain he got.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was like Cato and
Robin.
Cato and Robin.
Right. So that was the incorporation of the action, right?
Right.
But in this Godzilla, it's reversed. It was so good.
Yeah.
Those last 5 to 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And
but they need the guy to do the next Godzilla movie. They need the guy who did the action scenes for the Expendables.
Well, he already,
because he did the first part. It was great, and the whole movie was great.
The director's already on board for the next one. They're already planning a sequel because they made so much money that first weekend. So hopefully, he'll do more of what obviously he knows he can do.
Right.
You know, he knows he can do it. So I would say, don't go see the movie in the theaters. Wait till it comes out on DVD. It made the money already. You're not going to hurt it at all.
Okay.
So that's what I say to you. So I don't know if you're going to do it, but remember, we still got to see Edge of Tomorrow. So that's coming out soon. We're going to do that too. So obviously go see that instead for you,
yeah,
Charlie.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So,
and now we have the war of the sound effects. All right. So we're going to see. Maybe we're both right. Maybe that was done in a later Godzilla. That's a train pulling into.
So now we have to do some research. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, ready for our break? We'll be right back with Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to A King of Fun Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our very own student correspondent, Talia Saladino, our engineer, Brian, and Kara, the intern, who did not mess up the contest winner's name. And now we have, as we said, we were going to do double duty. So we talked about Godzilla in the first half. And now we have an extra special guest, Frank Patz, from Eternal Con.
Hello.
Now, actually, it was just interesting how you handed me your card, and I saw the image on it, and I realized that it came from somewhere else. So where did you start out from?
I had a website a while back called Eternal Collector. And what we did was we showed people's collections in their home and, you know, all these types of cool-looking, dens. And it was called Eternal Collector. It was one of the most popular websites for its time. And I decided when I was wanting to make a convention, I was fishing around for a name, and I couldn't think of anything. So I came up with, all right, Eternal Collector, Eternal Con.
Now, talking to many convention organizers, what possessed you to decide to make a convention? Because I know it's a lot of headache and hard work.
Yeah, especially now when it's 2 weeks before the show. it's bulk of the work comes now. But it was something I wanted to do for a long time. I worked in wrestling for many years, and so I have a background in putting on events. And I've always loved conventions. Any type of convention, I'd go to a greeting card convention, whatever type of convention you can think of. You know, I like going to them. I love toys and comics, so, you know, I moved out here about 3 years ago to Long Island, and I said, you know, this place really needs a good Comic Con, so I decided to do it.
Now, what makes your convention different than anybody else's? I mean, we've covered many conventions, and even 2 weeks ago, we did the MCon, and it was, as I went there last year and Charlie went there this year, it's just an energy, a different type of energy. And I've been to Philly, and it's a different energy over there than it is a New York con. So what makes your convention different than everybody else's?
That's the beauty of the cons. They all have their own energy, as you said. And our show, it's, you know, the thing about Eternal Con, we have a little bit of everything. You have, like, you know, MCon is anime, and this con is this, you know, and this one is just Star Trek. We have everything. Like, you know, if you like Star Trek, we have something for you. If you have, like, Planet of the Apes, we have something for you. If you like comics, we have something for you. We try to have a diversity of everything, and it's a smaller show. So it's not like the huge cons where you get lost in everything, and, you know, you actually, it's more intimate. You can meet the guests that we have rather than see them and just get their signature, and then, you know, they put you off to the next person.
Are you going to have, what's the running gag? Are you going to have any celebrities that are going to charge $600 for an autograph?
Yeah, no. Sylvester Stallone couldn't make it this year, but, you know. But, yeah, no, we, yeah, no, that is a lot, you know.
As a convention organizer, how does that work? Just like a little behind the scenes, does the celebrity come and say, hey, I want to charge $600 for an autograph, or is that the convention itself?
No, the celebrity is, like, you know, the celebrity's agent will tell you, okay, you know, he'll agree to appear to your show, but it's going to be $500,000 for the weekend. So once you find out, all right, $500,000, so that means if I get, you know, if I get 5,000 autographs, we're going to have to charge this much, so we know how much, you know, we can make back. And you try to make as close as you can without losing too much money. You always pretty much lose a little bit, but you try not to lose a lot.
And how do you go about getting celebrities? Do you stalk them online? Do you go to the houses? What do you do to find people to come to the convention?
It's pretty easy now. There's different booking agencies that handle celebrities for these type of events now, so it's not that hard. But they're hard to deal with sometimes, and there's so many shows going on all around the country that, you know, guys you want might be unavailable because they're somewhere else.
And how do you decide who do you want for your convention? If you say, I want a little bit of everybody, how do you know, oh, okay, I have too much Star Trek, or I have too much comics, or I have to try to make a balance? How do you do that?
Well, you try to see who hasn't been in the area, you know, who people would want to see, and what kind of convention you have. So you take all that into account, and then you pretty much figure, all right, you know, I'll have one guy from wrestling, I'll have one guy from Star Trek, I'll have one guy from here, and, you know, you try to get people, as I said, people that haven't been in the area, so you can have more of a chance that people wouldn't want their autograph or picture or anything like that.
I went online and I looked at the website, and you're absolutely right. It's something for everybody, because I have friends who like different things now. Herman's Planet of the Apes.
Right.
Who's Star Trek, who's this. And I told him, go to the website. There's something for you there. So if you guys, what is that website they could go to?
It's www.eternalcon.com. Yeah. And that's what we try to do. We try to have a little bit of everything. So, right. You know, if we have a car show. We have a, you know, haunted house. And they're building inside the museum this year. You know, we got a lot of fun things. So
yeah, it's going to be great.
So that's another aspect. It's, where is it located, and how did you wind up getting that venue as the place for the Kimonon?
When I want to do something, I want to make it kind of special, and I always try to find a little spin. So I wanted to do a show, but I didn't want to make it in an empty convention center, you know, with just tables and pipe and drape, and here you go, everybody, here's a convention. So I was looking for a place with a really cool backdrop. And I went all over Long Island, and as you know, in New York, we only have one convention center.
Right.
Every other state has like five of them. Right. We have one. And so I looked and looked and looked, and finally I found the Cradle of Aviation. It's beautiful. The backdrop is amazing. When you walk into the place, there's a giant Blue Angel plane hanging from the ceiling. You know, there's all these cool spacing. They have a lunar module inside the place. It's awesome. So it's a cool backdrop. You go to the con, see all this cool stuff, then take a walk in the museum, see all that cool stuff. It's great.
So having a convention in a museum is a novel thing to do, because they had it, as you say, a different venue. And not to keep on praising Kelly Gordon, but he's actually going to be at the Eternal Con.
Yep.
He had it in a library.
Yeah.
So is that, do you think that's like the future of how more customer-friendly conventions are, as opposed to just the run-of-the-mill, by the numbers, you know, here's empty space, put tables in, put people in, opposed to make it different and interesting, just the surroundings?
Yes. I think you, as time goes on, there's so many conventions now popping up all over the place. They're going to become a more of a regional thing. So I think the days of, you know, I want to go to Ohio Comic-Con, or I want to go to Denver Comic-Con, if you live in New York, is really not going to happen too much anymore, because you got to have a con. You know, you got to have a con coming up in 2 months.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's for the better, because the smaller cons, they're people are more accessible. And it's a cool, it's a different experience. But it's like, you know, you go to Great Adventure.
Right.
Right? You know, Six Flags Great Adventure. You go there and, you know, you have a great time. But it's not like Disney World. So Disney World is still New York Comic Con. You know, San Diego Comic Con,
right, the big, right.
Yeah, the big guy. So that's a total different experience.
Yeah, and it's, you know, excuse me, what you're saying, it's brilliant to have the cons in other places, like have great backdrop. Even though MCOM was in a library, the things that were going on, it was like you were in the studio and the library was the studio.
Right.
This is going to be like the Cradle of Aviation will be the studio. Mm-hmm. And it's a brilliant idea. Instead of, again, looking at pipes and drapes, as you said, I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, they have conventions that they held in, you know, gymnasiums and stuff like that. And yeah, it's cool, but, you know, they're big, but, you know, there's really no, you know, once you walk around, you know, the tables once or twice, then what do you really have to do?
So what about programming? How does that work? How do you decide what programming you have, you don't have, panels, any of that stuff?
A lot of the people attending always want to do some type of panel. The artists, you know, we pretty much we get a bunch of them, and then we see how much time we have, and we try to allocate as many as we can to the time. But you know, we do get a lot of them.
So, what time is the convention from? What time to what time?
It's a Saturday, June 14th, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday night we're having a costume contest starts at 7 p.m. so it's going to be a special thing this year we're having.
I've noticed the costumes have elaborated throughout the years. I've been going to conventions for quite some time. And it's just more, the costumes are so well done. I mean, have you noticed the trend from when, back in the day when things started out to nowadays and how things are?
Yeah, cosplay is huge now. You know, when I was a kid.
You have groups. Yeah. You have groups, right?
Yeah, yes. We have a bunch of groups coming to the show. Yeah, coming with like 30 people, you know. It's a big thing. Like back in the day when I was a kid and I'd go to like the creation cons and, you know, you'd probably see one person dressed like Planet Apes or something, but that's it, you know, now.
Do you think that it's an oversaturation of cons now? Because there's so many. I mean, I remember at one point back in the day, there used to be a convention every weekend in New York. There was like a little convention somewhere every weekend, so it kind of diminished from going to one, well, if I miss this convention, I'll just go next week for the next week convention. Is that how it's going to become? Or do you think it's just going to have a, like, reach its limit at one point in time?
Well, I hope not. You know, people ask me, you know, are you going to do another show? Like, you know, you should do two shows or three shows a year. And I don't want to do that because there is that oversaturation. If you do too many shows, there's nothing to look forward to. And there's, you know, and you know, how many times can you go to the, you know, to see the same type of thing. The as far as other shows popping up, it's good and it's bad. It's good because, you know, it'll give people things to do. It's bad because there's a lot of people that don't know how to run shows that think, yeah, just rent a place, get some celebrities, and that's it. And you know,
right. And it's also the quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
This looks like it's going to be a gangbuster. And hopefully, like I said, I can't keep saying enough about it because I went on the website and I'm very impressed that a convention, a local convention, as I call, is going to have these fabulous stars and the fabulous events and stuff like that.
It's something that you actually mentioned with what Frank just said about the how to run a con when you went to the Beatles thing of how well organized that was.
Oh my God, that was one of the most organized. One of the most organized, sorry about that. One of the most organized conventions I've ever seen in my life. You know, I'm coming from Comic-Con, remember that?
Right.
But it was amazing, so.
So, Frank, what goes into organizing a convention like that? How do you make it just work? Because you go to some cons, you're like, this is just a hot mess, and it was just the worst thing ever. But or you're like, this was a great experience all around. I enjoyed myself more than just going to the con. The entire experience was great.
See, that's the key word, what you said right there. It's the experience. That's what a lot of people don't see. Like, you have to give people an experience. People don't, you know, they want to be entertained. They want to go somewhere and have a good time. So you have to make sure it's an experience for people that's why they want to come back next year. There's plenty of cons that come about where they're not organized well. People go spend their money and say, that was the worst thing I ever went to. And it hurts another con, like, you know, another upcoming con or something like that. So what you have to do is you got to make sure that you have enough things that'll keep people occupied for, you know, the time that they give you, the time that they go to your show. And, you know, you have to make sure that you're well organized, you have a good staff, you have plenty of vendors and people like, you know, artists for people to look at. You know, you got to give people oversaturation of fun.
With a convention of any size, you always run into the problem of too many people going in, and then you have the crowd control. How difficult is it to do crowd control in this type of situation and keep everybody happy?
Well, we run into that because we did get a lot more people last year than we thought we were going to get. Crowd control, you know, you just have the right people and staff, and you know, it's not as difficult as you think. Look at Comic-Con, the first year that they did the Javits Center, they had this big thing where, you know,
no one could get in. It was a giant
line. Yeah,
it was just
a big mess. Yeah,
because they didn't know.
Yeah, they had no idea. That's why. So you got to anticipate these things and say, you know what, this is what we got to have a fail safe in case something happens.
If anybody out there is listening right now and wants to start their own convention, what is your advice for them?
Try to be unique. Try to be organized. make sure you you know, you get a good staff, and you know, I would say work for other conventions and learn how to do certain things, because too many people, like I said, they think I'll just rent a hall, I'll just get some guests and that's it. So it's better to learn and, you know, work at another show.
And like I said, is this going to be over the Father's Day weekend?
Yes.
Well, here's a plus for that, dads. It's going to be Kids Day Sunday, right?
Correct.
You want to be a good dad? Bring your kid to this convention. Go see the Planet of the Apes thing.
It's a good excuse because it's Father's Day. So all fathers that are into this, you can tell your wife, this is what I want to do. Yeah. And she can't say no because it's Father's Day.
Yeah. So was that part of the plan? Make sure it was Father's Day when you organized it?
Well, last year we did it on Father's Day weekend. We only did it one day, but we decided to keep the date.
So who do you have going there? What guests do you have? Promote the hell out of this convention right now. You got 8 minutes to go, so you got 5 minutes to promote. What do you got?
We have Rebecca Mader from Once Upon a Time. She was also on Lost. She plays a Wicked Witch of the West. We have Mick Foley. You know, hardcore legend, as they call him, former WWE champion. We have from the number one movie in the world, X-Men, Daniel Cudmore, who plays Colossus. And Lee Ehrenberg, who's a great character actor. He was in, he's also in Once Upon a Time, but he's as Grumpy. But he was in Pirates of the Caribbean. He was on Seinfeld. We have Timac. The Last Dragon. Isn't that a classic movie?
Yes.
Great Show guy. Enough. Yeah. Ray Park, who was Darth Maul in the Star Wars movies, Snake Eyes and G.I. Joe, Toad and X-Men. He'll be there. Actually, Sunday we're doing a great panel about martial arts in the movies. In the panel will be Timac, Ray Park, and Steve Cardenas, who was the Red Power Ranger.
The Red Power Ranger. I'm a huge Power Ranger fan. I'm well aware of that. And that's going to be on Sunday. When I'm here sitting in the studio, you're going to have this. That's
awesome.
Hey,
do a live feed from the convention, man. Come on.
Yeah. You think you'd be able to do that, Charlie, two times in a row?
Yeah, I can do that.
Because that was a very interesting experiment we did last a couple weeks ago. Had Charlie at the convention, and it was just screaming people going crazy. We might hopefully see if we could try it again.
There you go.
Yeah, I got a couple of interesting people I got a couple of interesting people.
You know, I told Frank to speak into the microphone. You've been doing this for years. You should know.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to hear out there. Okay, that's it. All right. We had a couple of interesting people, and you did interviews while you were here.
Yeah, it was very, very nice.
Yeah.
Any websites, anybody else you want to plug, promote, now is the time.
Well, EternalCon.com. We also have a Facebook at Facebook.com/EternalCon. We're on Twitter, EternalCon Expo. Just get out there. Oh, we got a big event, you guys. June 12th, 2 days before EternalCon, we're hosting Cosplay Night at Citi Field with the Mets.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So, we're going to have...
Should have let in with that one.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have a bunch of costume characters come. They're going to invite all their fans. Come dressed up as your favorite superhero. And, we're going to be there taking photos. And even Daniel Cudmore will be there. So it's going to be a cool night.
Wow.
At Citi Field.
That's Thursday.
Thursday, June 12th. If you buy the Eternal Con weekend pass, not only do you save $5, but you also get a free ticket to the cosplay night.
Wow.
So I'm going to...
That's huge.
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, the person who called in for the free passes, will she also be able to get involved in that or no?
I see if I can work something out.
There you go. Yes. See, that's the honest answer. Good man. There is one last thing. Where do you see Eternal Con going from now? 2 years, 3 years, 5 years?
Well, we just want to keep putting on great shows for the fans. You know, you got to understand, like, we love these shows too. So it's for us, it's having a great time while we're there. And we just want to continue and have everybody spread the word of Eternal Con. And hopefully we can keep doing this every year.
Do you find that there are people that don't have the heart into it? Because we always talk about Hollywood movies, how Hollywood pretty much doesn't care about their product. Do you find that that's a case with a lot of other conventions, or is that everybody loves doing it, and that's why they do it.
There's a lot of conventions out there that that you know they're more about the bottom line than the experience, and I think as they go on, fans will see that. Yeah, but there definitely are.
Yeah, the fans. It's just like anything. It's just like the fans know. The fans are gonna make the con popular. They're gonna make it or break it. So, yeah.
But on the flip side to that, you know, you have to make a profit in order to keep doing these shows. So, like, you know, right. you, there's that line you have to stay on, you know?
And how do you decide where that line is? How do you decide, all right, well, I can do a little more by making a little extra money, or I can cater toward the fans? Just, I'll go with San Diego Comic-Con for a three-day pass. It's really expensive nowadays to go there. So, I mean, they justify, well, you know, we're the biggest convention, we can charge that much, but then there's people who can't afford to go. Even other venues, they're always saying, you know, oh, movies are so expensive, oh, this is so expensive. But, yes, they have to make a profit. So how do you walk that fine line?
Well, San Diego, like I said, it's like Disney World, you know. Disney World is very expensive to go to, you know.
Right.
But it's an experience. Like, I think San Diego, even though New York Comic Con said they had more of an attendance, I still think San Diego Comic Con is the best Comic Con in the country because their location, not only is the place absolutely huge, but the location is beautiful. And when you go outside the convention center, there's a million things going on. And the town
gets caught up in it.
Yes,
the whole town is
as
great.
As we said it's a lot amazing. Of times, you can't get caught up in New York, but the whole town gets caught. Store owners dress up.
Right.
So,
So that's what we're hoping to do out here. You know, we got to get people, you know, into the geek culture.
So we have less than 2 minutes to go. So I'll give it to you. Do you have a final thought for the groups out there? Any words, last words of wisdom you want to impose on our listeners?
Yeah, come to Eternal Con. You'll have a good time. And we're also having a parade this year, costume parade, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. It's free to everyone. Even if you're not coming to Eternal Con, you can come and watch the parade. They're all going to walk by the road there and lead right into the Cradle of Aviation Museum. 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
Charlie, final thought?
Yeah, I'm thinking this is a great deal, folks. Take advantage of it. It's local. If you don't want to take trains and go crazy, it's local. You're not only getting the con, you're getting the Cradle of Aviation. So all you dads, take your kids. It's going to be a learning experience. You'll have a blast. The kids will have a blast. You don't have to sweat on a train. You don't have to do anything like that. It's local. Do it!
Yes.
My final thought is that the Eternal Con is going to be an experience, and sometimes that's what you need to have is an experience for a convention. And also, don't go see Godzilla. Make sure you do not go see Godzilla. Don't waste your money on Godzilla. Go to the Eternal Con instead. The money we're going to spend on going to the Godzilla, go to the Eternal
Con.
Yeah.
And remember the big debate. What is the sound effect for Godzilla?
Yes.
Send it on our Facebook, all you people out there.
So that about does it for this week on
Does it really? Radio.
It does.
Okay.
And join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you missed any part of our show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so, I promise. And we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.